Before I begin to talk, well, I'm already talking, huh? Interesting. Okay. I just want to thank your students, practitioners, for taking time out of your life to join in supporting me in giving this particular Dharma talk here. Because for decades, people have asked me to address this particular talk, which I'll get into. I always run to the hills. No way. The new students, I welcome you. And most importantly, I hope you stay, not just for this session, but stay in the practice and supporting this community, the Buddhist community globally. All I have is 90 minutes, and I'll try my best to share with you the talk I, about 30 minutes ago, gave to my advanced students. Advanced because we practiced for 2 hours. And you're welcome to be a part of that if you choose to, but just giving you some information here. So now, let me open with an invocation, inviting the devas to give us all some support. You're welcome to invite your ancestors, your elders on the other side to help us out. Samatha Chigalawilasu Antraga Chantu Devata Sadama Muni Rajasa Sunatu Sagamukadam Sagi Kami Charupe Iriti Taratati Chantileka Wama. Ebe rata te game Turuwa ne gahane watami kate Uma jayantu dewa Jaila Jaila Visami Yaka Gandaba Naga Titante Santi Kaya Muni Wawa Vachacham Sadome Sunantu Buddha Sawana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Sawana Kalo Ayam Badanta Sangha Sawana Kalo Ayam There's a law firm in the southeastern part of the United States. I'm still a member of them, and I encourage you. They are devoted to working ever since its conception, way back, of hatred and anti-government, anti-Semitic. Go with your imagination with regards to hate. And their journal for 22, they gave some statistics of, forget about how many people, how many hate groups, 733 anti-government groups, hate groups, 488 people, that come to a total of 1,221 groups. So this is in the millions, okay? Not only that, they gave me a little map of where they are in this country, where they're located. They're in the millions, millions, okay? I personally was raised, my childhood years where race was separated, Pawleys Island, South Carolina. At that time, the body I'm in now, it was called colored. White was still white as it is now, and was separated. Everything, the beaches, the bathrooms, the parks, go with your imagination, it's crazy. Now, here's 2023. I don't see any change. Not deeply. No change. Now, there's a critical race theory, for example. What's behind that? You know, it's a concept made up of what's behind it. So it's intense. LBGTQA plus, or two spirits, as a Native American would call it. Suffering is beyond our imagination, and as always has been since we've been on this plane of existence. I'm presently putting together a historical retreat for veterans. It's never been done on this scale of magnitude before. 100 vets and taking care of them from door to door. Me and my team, a budget of $160,000, $175,000, I have $55,000 raised so far. So here, talking about donation, if you want to give, make a donation, yes, please. We have 17 vets in America commit suicide every day. This is down from 30. A person of color graduate from high school and say, okay, I don't want to go to college right now or higher education, but I'd like to see the world. I want to see more of this country. Just let's keep it simple, just in America. Will they hitchhike around this country? They have to be pretty mad to do something like that. Still to this day. A person of color in another country, in a Western country, in Europe. It's intense. Walked in a bathroom, walked in a police station, Ralph did in Germany a few years ago, because I needed to find a bathroom. The loo. My wife was shopping and I didn't want to do any shopping. So, there's a police station. Of course, they would know where a loo is. I walked in there. Oh, man. It was like walking into the gates of hell. Ralph, be quiet, be with your breath. You're on vacation. You don't got time to be locked up, to be held up, or you don't get your wife all upset, mess up. Just be quiet. Went on for 15 to 30 minutes. So it's intense. It's over the top. Always has been over the top. Yes, John Lennon would say, imagine, but that's how far we can go with it. Imagine. Okay. Look what they're trying to do with women. Look what they've been trying to do with women since time. Police and the military are taking pride in other countries because they're taking their pellet gun, and the women who protest in the street, not covering their face, shooting them in the eye. Did that stop them? No. They're continuing to protest with one eye. Amazing. Just like the riots that I was part of in the 60s in this country. I'm ready to die. I've had enough. You can get so caught up in this mess with the self. Very intense. Let your meditation practice begin, please. Okay? I'm the kind of person to break rules. I have 90 minutes, so let's see what we can do with 90 minutes, okay? Just like in Italy, the stop signs, they got vines and stuff like that growing all over the stop sign because nobody stopped. So let's do this. So the self, our self, including Ralph, we get locked into these belief system and patterns. And it doesn't matter. It can be a healthy lock or unhealthy. I'm using the word lock instead of clinging or attachment. Maybe I'll use that word at another point in time. But we get locked into just a certain way of life, belief system. Because why? Because we have a very strong desire for a particular reality. That's important. Okay, because my reality is different than yours. Your reality is different than the next person. You may find a group that have associated a common desire. So another way of saying this, is with regards to pain. And it can be emotional or physical. Doesn't matter. It's with our social space, as well our own individual space. Backing up even further, what is Ralph talking about? We get to understand how words affect our communication, how we say what we say, when we say it, the tone we say it in, words. Words affect our reality. Like I said, I'm not talking about good and bad. It is just what it is. Words. Powerful. And it also helps our reality as well. Not only words. Think about it. What's one of the most common phrases in the Buddhist community? Metta. Words. May I be happy. May I be healed. The Brahma Viharas. Words. It's powerful. Beyond our imagination. It's powerful. And we gather with people who supports that. So that's why we have so many hate groups as well as healthy groups. And now understand, our Buddhist community is not exempt with regards to racism, culture, diversity, inequality. My biggest wake-up call was when I put together these people of color retreats. Wow. Holy God. I'm walking around thinking just because it's this particular community, what a slap in the face. It's amazing what I learned. Insightful. So no, we're not exempt. But we begin to do retreats, go to retreats, and then you're doing your practice and you have some moments with regards to our desire and our reality. We have some wonderful moments. I mean, these moments alleviate us from that pain, from those just moments, from a particular level of suffering. Those moments are so powerful, though, that it motivates us. I remember those moments where we began to look at ourselves and question. The question was posed to the Buddha. Is there a self? He didn't respond. Is there no self? He didn't respond. What he said. Is there's form? That's the elements. Which we live in. And all the other elements that we look at, form. And the rest is on the mental plane, feeling. Of course, comfortable, pleasurable, neutral. And painful, or you just don't like it. Form, feeling, perception. Perception, that's our memory bank, that's our archives. Identification, this is where we bring the mental world and the physical world of form together, boom, to identify, to create. Consciousness, that which knows. In old movie film, where it is filmed, and you look at a frame just as a person, just for a person to raise their hand, oh, maybe 10, 15 frames have to go by. You see that. So that can happen. To understand a moment, what I just said to you, that creates one frame of consciousness. Just one frame. In Buddhist psychology, it's one mind moment. This book, Philosophy and Science of Consciousness. Okay? I invite you to get a copy of this. It's excellent. I've had it for 15 years. picked it up in India. Couldn't be sold in this country because it was only 150 rupees. That's not even a dollar. But it just became available on Amazon recently. It's not expensive, $9 in some sense. It's still in hardback. What's so special about it? 2002 in Kolkata, India. Professors from various universities presented various departments at these universities, including mathematics, from the perception of Vedanta, very old culture on consciousness. All science-based. What's so wonderful about this is that all these professors are from India and they all work in the United States. It makes you begin to take the self apart and say, oh, okay, now it's not self anymore. Not that, not so hardened. The sense of self. Questioning that. The sense of self. It's always changing like everything else. And when you begin to question that, then you begin to get into the true dome. You begin to look at it more carefully and see how it makes sense. Even the word Dharma from Sanskrit and Pali. You look at the word Dharma from Sanskrit, Dhar, cradle. Ma speaks for itself, the mother. Dhamma, D-H-A-M-M-A from Pali, Dhamma. In Thailand, that language and nature is one and the same. The mother, the feminine. And when I'm talking about the feminine right now, I'm not talking about the gender outside of us. I'm talking about the masculine and the feminine within each one of us. How to use it? You begin to question yourself. Oh, well, or evaluate yourself if you don't want to question yourself with the skills you've been utilizing. Have I been utilizing these skills correctly? Has there been sufficient for what I want, my desire to my reality? And all of a sudden that begins to change as well. Do you want a total ending from your suffering? Or do you want to work on just one at a time? Various kind of evaluation. And that's totally up to you. Nobody can evaluate you except you. I'm talking about the physical and the mental here, people. Your perception begin to change because of this evaluation. And you look not just your desire, but that reality you have, that changes as well. Because the practice, what the Buddha was giving us, is how to investigate our own consciousness, our consciousness. Because that's where the suffering dwells. The biggest part of it. And those glimpses in our practice that got us motivated, you begin to get some understanding that it's between desire and reality. It's between it. It's beyond the non-verbal. And you begin to understand, wow, it is possible I can become awakened in this very lifetime. Oh my. As Marvin Gaye would say, let's get it on, but you have to do the work, in other words. You have to follow the path. And you begin to give up this self and work with selflessness. And in that process, you begin to have some fun. Those twinkling begins to happen in your practice, the diamonds. And you realize that darkness is you're in a cave, you're in a room. And who's the one to put those rocks up in there? Who is the one that made it dark? We did. We did. Mostly unintentionally. Didn't know. Even though the beginning of the 80s, when meditation practice was huge in this country. 100 people at retreats, waiting lists, all over the country, not just at these, quote, meditation centers. Didn't matter. So at Amherst College, they had a conference with theologians in science out of the theologian department. You can Google this information. From the academic perspective, they was questioning, what is this? What is this Buddhism? And according to the definition of science and religion, Buddhism didn't fit. It was in a league of its own. The Four Noble Truths is skills. He's teaching us to be our own surgeon. You come to a realization that, oh, yes, I can let this body die. Self that dies with that old Ralph, and here's this begin to develop a new one. Looking into And you'll be looking into your cause and stopping it. That's enlightening within itself. And you begin to look at the Eightfold Path. Oh boy. Yadi dam chitari purisa yugani ata purisa pugala. The four peers, the eight kinds, these are my closest disciple. It's chanted every day, twice a day, in all the Theravadin forest monasteries. Let them be your elders. Not some little cognitive piece. Theory until, oh yes, I got that. I remember me and this one monk was doing some stretching, and he said, God, wow, it's been about 14, 15 months, Ralph Punyananda, that I've been working on right speech. I think I'm gonna move on now to right effort. Take your time. But be diligent with it, though. These elders because they're amazing. Our time in this form is just so quick. And believe me, it's quick. 19, 20 years old, Vietnam. It's crazy. Imagine somebody, I was just a kid. One moment you're breathing and next moment you're dead. Not just once, but many, 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 many times over. So many friends. But the elders, the Eightfold Path, they've been here for at least 2,500 years, huh? And they're grouped into three different categories. The one on conduct, speech, boy, that's a big one. Action and livelihood. Livelihood, most of us, especially the older practitioners, and some of the new ones, you got that down with regards to green, you know, give me a green juice. I'm vegetarian. Oh, yeah, this. Now read the labels and pull stuff off the shelf and stuff like that. That livelihood, oh, I live a pretty good life. But speech, whoa, that's still a work in progress for all of us, me included. It's huge. Wisdom. But those of you who say, oh, well, I don't have any wisdom. Well, use the word discernment. Remember how powerful words are. Or come up with your own word. But that includes view, the right view or the right understanding of something, you know? Again, use your own language you don't like those. Then the other one is resolve of thought. I like thought myself because it's the thoughts that that triggers me. You know, that's, you know, it's with regards to emotions and so forth. Words. And samadhi. Or concentration. Samadhi is the Sanskrit word. Sila, Panya, Samadhi. Those are the three. Concentration is, first you need the energy, the effort. But if you've been, like I said, we got the livelihood down. So this, it affects that area of ourselves. But concentration also works with the feelings with regards to form, feelings, perception, identification, and conscious, a whole new way to relate to our experience. Because we bring in mindfulness and we bring in concentration itself. Just like how wisdom or discernment works with perception, because it comes from our library, helping us. Where you, yourself, or each one of us, our own sense of self, on the surface, gender, you know, it's interesting, the new generation, they don't want to be called this, that. I believe in my window, even with Zoom, they have, you can put it in there, he, him, as the companies and so forth. It's a new world in that area.
It's amazing. Perception. We don't have to worry about the form that much because, like I said, our conduct is pretty good. Just need to get our labs checked and be on top of your game with regards to your form. And that's important. My wife said this was in the first week of January. It was been 6 years since she's had a cold. And I say, wow, yeah, it's been 9 for myself. So it's you can be on top of your game if you choose to. It's a choice. And all of a sudden, instead of, because you're working with your own consciousness from this perspective, you're not worrying about time anymore, even if you're sitting in a chair, sitting on a couch, sitting cross-legged, it doesn't matter. What's time? All of a sudden, an hour's gone, 2 hours gone, 3 hours, don't matter. You've transcended space as well. You don't know if you're inside up, upside down, especially if your eyes are closed. You know, you just, but you're there, right there. That's what's required. That's what's required to walk out of that cave. And the light's not bright anymore. It's just bright in the beginning, those diamonds. But to get to begin to move those rocks away from the door, yeah, it's bright in the beginning. Then it continues. It just goes on. It just continues. Your practice don't stop, but you continue. You understand how it works. The only person that's upset is the Lord of Death. Because he knows that he's just going to get your bones. But he's not going to get you. That's the deathless. And so you continue, we continue to live in the world, but not be of this world. And be example for other human beings. How do we came into this community? How did we come into this practice? You know, it's just with some or a few human beings that you saw something in them and said, wow. I don't know how you got to that, but I want it. Whatever brought us into this practice? Because this is what separates us from the rest of the culture on our planet. If we choose to go and do surgery. Or in Majjhima Nikaya, Samyutta Nikaya, they use the language as a raft. Building a raft so you can cross the ocean of samsara, of suffering. So many ways you can look at that. In other words, you have to build your raft. You have to look for the materials. It gives us the basic, the nobles. It's just a raft. And you're going to have fun as you're doing that because you can call it rapture or sensation, the joy. It's a different kind of joy than the joy the self knows. Here's the selflessness, sense of self. So elated, having such a good time. wonderful time as you practice on your own personal path, which is someone ask you exactly what you're doing on your path, you can't put it in language. You can just experience it. And as my grandfather would say, you're just a grain of sand on the beach. Yeah. But you're sparkling. You don't know you're sparkling. You're just having a good time. If you crack open that grain of sand, there's a speck of salt water in it. It's connected to the ocean, dung, the great. That's what makes our Buddhist community so special, especially if we choose to grasp these skills. And you don't have to worry about stepping up, because to do this, you've already stepped up. We have about 30-some minutes left. I pulled something out of my archives. Let me close this talk and open it up for Q&A, or just let's just sit and rest for a little bit. But it's something I wrote up about 15, 20 years back. This is my reflection on Shariputra. You know, the Buddha, Siddhartha was Buddha number 27. I chant the 28 Buddhas every night. And Moggallana and Shariputra. You may have seen some of the Buddha depicted, and you see two monks on each side. A monk on each side makes two. And that's the representation of Moggallana and Shariputra. Moggallana, he was more in the psychic area. Shariputra was more in the academic knowledge arena. They both know both areas. The interesting thing, they're brothers. And the interesting thing about them is that they have been with all the past 27 Buddhas. Shariputra, who is also known as the marshal of the Dharma, the wisest disciple. The practice of mindfulness helps us to identify the mental factors in our consciousness that can distinguish right from wrong. Wrong view is understanding that possessiveness and attachment lead to happiness. You hear that? Wrong view is understanding that possessiveness and attachment leads to happiness. It is the view that gives rise to greed, hatred, and delusion. Right view sees all things as impermanent, not to be grasped or taken as ourself. It is the view that leads to letting go, to freedom. With consciousness as a seed for our condition, there's mental and material formation, for that is habitual pattern. It's big. Follow us. With the stopping of the mental and the material formation, consciousness will not come to be, because we are the one that's creating it. It takes time. It takes practice. I want to stop there. comments, questions?
We did have one request, Ralph, for you to hold that book back up so that we could get the correct title and author.
Slightly different cover than what's on Amazon. However, I did check the ISBN number and it matched. That's what's important.
And so people could choose to raise their digital hand to ask questions directly or type something into the chat. Comments or questions, all welcomed. Kaz is asking who is the author, and Joshua would like to come on screen to ask you a question.
Hi, Ralph. Thank you for your comments and your insights. I'm about to start working with incarcerated individuals at Rikers Island. And I wonder whether you could give me some insights. I'm going to be teaching mindfulness and nonviolent communication, a little bit of psychoeducation, attachment theory, trauma stuff. And I was wondering whether you might comment on that, give me some insight into how to go about approaching these individuals and from a Buddhist perspective, what skills would you offer? How would you go about teaching it?
Thank you, Joshua. First, let me clarify. The author for this book is Ramakrishna Mission Institute of Culture. Okay, this was a conference. And so the author, again, is Ramakrishna Mission Institute of Culture. But like I said, all you need to do is Google this title. I'm in it on Amazon, and it will come up. Okay, Joshua, congratulations. First, let me begin with that. I remember doing work at San Quentin a few times. As they put me in this room, it was the size of 50 by 50, the floor of a church, and the pews in there and everything. And I was in there for about almost 2 hours, hour and 45 minutes. I didn't think anybody was going to come. And all of a sudden, human beings began walking in the room. As they began walking in the room, tears began coming down my eyes, because I've never seen anybody like that, look like that, since I was in robes, all together like that. This, when all have a very small cell. And when they decide to turn their life around, wow, their distraction is at a minimum. It's a different kind of culture than the culture outside the walls. Therefore, they made what they have a monastery. And the best part is that embracing the silence, and they're looking for skills. not for any ideology or anything like that, because they know and they see every day, and the average prison is 5,000. So, at least one person die every day. Okay. So, and it's broken up back to basic with regards to groups. You not just have the white groups or the black groups or the Hispanic groups, but you have the Aryan nation groups. You have different lineages or branches of the black groups and so forth. And so it's back to basics. You have people who is known as retired gladiators and who have not only killed outside, but killed inside, including guards and so forth. They've been and they have moved around the country. And so when they stop, when as a human being, and they personally decide to turn their life around, understand you have two kinds of people that may be coming into your class. One that's very interested, just new, and one that has so much depth. You're going to have oak trees of people coming into your room, and just their presence in the room, and please acknowledge them with regards to that, because they will be your elders, okay? And so the basic part, the main thing they're looking for, all of them, is tools and skills. And it's just, and you can take your mind with regards to tools and skills besides the Four Noble Truths is after your first day there, you're going to get some information with regards to language. Remember how I said words are so powerful? So that's going to help you out in formulating your language with whatever you want to present in a package with regards to a package of skills, like right speech or right action, giving examples and so forth. Have fun, and you're going to learn a lot. One final piece on that, Joshua, is there's a lady, her name is Susan Shannon, and just send me an email and I'll send you her contact. The reason why is she worked in the chaplain department at San Quentin for a long time before she retired, and now she's put together a manual that's in a lot of prisons across the country, and where she's continuing to do work. And she's a very long time veteran practitioner. Her name is Susan Shannon. So I'll send you her information. Comments, questions? Maybe. Just resting in the silence is good enough, huh? Yeah, that's precious. Somebody wrote, not misread MBSR. It's Jon Kabat-Zinn. I remember Johnny when it was stress reduction program, when it was even before that, before his book Full Catastrophe came out. That's how long a relationship we have, when my wife and I, we're old friends. So I don't, if the person who put that in there could say some more, would be helpful.
It looks like Lynn has a question to ask you directly.
Please.
You could unmute Lynn, because without your video on, I cannot bring you next to him on the screen. I'm not hearing Lynn. So Susan also has her hand up. I will move to Susan, and Lynn, we can check back with you in a moment.
Hi, Ralph.
Hi.
Am I unmuted? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have a specific question. I was sitting here realizing that I actually, 20 years ago, it's now been, that I first met you, and I will just thank you again. You gave me the gift of this practice, and you invited me to come out to San Diego from Washington, D.C. and do my first meta retreat. And it has been the life-changing thing it's supposed to be. And I will just thank you.
Thank you, Susan. We brothers and sisters, you know, on this path. It's amazing, huh?
Yeah. Well, It's as anyone's first experience with that kind of thing. It's a huge, open-hearted, wonderful thing. So I'm 20th anniversary, so it's an opportunity. And I look forward to hearing you many more times, I hope.
Oh, you're quite welcome. You're so kind. Yes, boy, we are working hard to understand how it works, because the next time around, if that happens for us, we can make a choice. We'll have some choices with regards to coming into this, what particular form we choose to come in, or if we want to come in.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah. So wonderful. Thank you so much.
And we can see if Lynn could unmute you. Feel free to ask your question now.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
I have come into the meeting an hour late because of time changes, apologies, and I don't know what it was about. However, I feel a strong need to ask you about a spiritual emergency and soul theft. I don't know if this is appropriate or not. For this occasion.
I'm listening. Or we are listening.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I feel I have had a soul theft and a spiritual emergency recently, and I am wondering what I can do to help myself spiritually to become whole again.
You are speaking for all of us, Lynn, and with regards to spiritual emergency, one thing, you have the tool, and that's to know you have it. But that's one thing, having it and using it is two different worlds. And of course, you can always, if re-listen to this Dhamma talk, as well as go online and access to insight.org. That particular website is dedicated, all is only monastic writing is on that site. And I'm mentioning that to look up the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, because we all are using that. But there's one, like I said, there's one thing intellectually reading it and understanding it, and then it's another thing putting it into practice with regards to our sense of self. And that's the work. That's really the work for all of us. And that's including the Dalai Lama, all of us. It doesn't matter. Okay. It really doesn't matter. And having a good friend that you can talk to will be another one where you can share, well, this is what insight, this is how I work in my advanced group. We always have We are brothers and sisters, which we all are in this community. And the Eightfold Path, the Four Noble Truths, help us to understand that, because it goes beyond belief systems, patterns that's out in the world. So we can look at, another word for belief system is rules and regulations. So we can look at our belief system and patterns internally. And so to have a friend that you can share some insight with really helps quite a bit. And the final piece, playing with words, use compassionate words this way. Because I know Ralph is a nutcase, and in here, and I'm working with my mind and everything to use kind words and everything, because my bones 72 years old, and I've only been in a monastery for 12 months doing serious practice of the 72 years. And yes, I come from a very deep, my family lineage has its own thing, but I don't want to waste any time in that area. So it's not easy to be a human being. I guess that's one thing I'm trying to say. It really is not easy, but you can have fun once you understand that. I hope what I shared helps give you some insight.
Thank you very much. It has, especially what touches my heart is you can have fun.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I know in some cultures, if you don't have a sense of humor just in the conversation, so are you doing okay? Is everything okay with you? Because we all live, we have a life. How come you look so serious? What's, doesn't matter what's going on. Yeah. I had to learn that at a young age to survive. Sense of humor is medicine. Oh my God.
Many sincere thanks.
That's You're welcome.
Been very helpful.
You're quite welcome now. You're quite welcome.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Any final words, Ralph? Our time is coming to a close here.
Can we ascertain this last person's, her hand is raised?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Put it back
that's
up.
That's more important than me having any final words.
Also, yes. It looks like there's another question in the chat, but we'll bring on, I want to say this properly, Vishnya?
Yes. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I have a question, you know, since I started on this path, I fully feel and in some way wish to share the benefits with broader range of people who are, you know, close or not even so close to me, depends who on the occasion. But I find it hard for several reasons. First, because it's hard to really put in words one's experience, and it doesn't translate, as you have said in this talk. And second, because, you know, most people see, that's something Vishnu is doing, it's this exotic stuff, you know, ha ha ha. And I also don't want to impose anything on people. So the approach I've been taking is, you know, I say what, if they ask me, how did you spend the day? I say, I did this lecture on this. If they ask more, I answer. If they don't, I don't push it. But until somebody really asks for something and is seeking something. But I wonder, I mean, and that's okay, but I continuously have a need to share more. I don't know how. So maybe you have some words, because I assume you often work with people who actually, who are not yet fully open to exploring the Buddhist path.
That's a good way that you're going, the direction. I support that 100% plus. And you just investigate that part of you who feel this motivation of wanting to share more. Where's that coming from? And what, more importantly, what is it doing to you? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, and then understand, and I'm speaking to everyone, you can learn how to use anything as a skill, anything, doesn't matter. So with that said, that motivation of wanting to share more, how can you take that and look at yourself as a tree, a nice, one of my favorite trees is mangoes. So make the mango tree sweeter. Okay. Because when the tree is really, really sweet, they will continue. They will just come to you and ask questions.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And in the chat, Kaz asks, a dear friend is a longtime practitioner of Tibetan Buddhism and teacher, and deeply negative in her words about her life of isolation and physical suffering. And finally, I'm impatient. How to deal with this? I think that's what this says.
Good. Well, you got the nobilities. One thing we, not just here in America, but in the West, or globally too. Yeah. No. Because of the consciousness, if you think about it, medication, you know, Dow Kimmel, Dow Jones, doesn't matter. It's an instant, or we begin to feel the effect within maybe 15 minutes to a day or so, or something like that. And so we have trained our consciousness, even before we came into this form, it's been embedded in consciousness of we want it yesterday, okay? In other words, impatience says there. And when you understand that that's there, then it gives you more opportunity and a lot of insight with regards to working with your own consciousness there. And you begin to understand, so much happens simultaneously when you get these insights on so many different levels. And what I just wanted to point out finally, how powerful and how big an impact words have on our consciousness or language and how we put ourselves down. And so it's like if you just take from 6 a.m. to noon and calculate, you know, do a little notebook of how many good things you say to yourself compared to how many not good things you say to yourself. And because you have to see your pattern. This is what we're doing. You're really doing surgery. This is not just hot air coming out of my mouth. Okay? You got to do the surgery. You got to do the work. You have to build your RAF. Or if you don't want to look at it as a RAF, go back to this tree analogy. And there's fruits on that tree and you see it. You have experienced it in your moments in practice. And you're the one that have to build the ladder to go up to that tree, to the top, to the various limbs, or you're the one that have to learn how to climb the tree. And nobody can tell you how to climb it. All you have is the basics, the nobility and the eight elders. But that's all you need.
Thank you. And there's a lot of appreciation in the chat. I'm going to invite the Sangha at this point to come unmute and say goodbye and log off at their leisure here. And thank everybody for gathering today and for your teaching and your time and your love and your care. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Blessings.